Word then, beloved, from Ephesians, first. Verse 1 of Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father, verse 3, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now Jesus Christ is before the Father. He's before the throne. Perhaps you'd better let a bit more air in, John. Will you just pull that hole? Let someone do it for you. Good. Thank you. Jesus Christ is before the Father, and you are in him, before God the Father. Now that's a very, very wonderful thing. And you and I were chosen there, in him. This is the position that we have always held before the Lord. That's a glorious and wonderful realization. Chosen us in him, verse 4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now that's what God chose before the foundation of the world. And this is why the world was founded, and this is why it all really came into being. That you should be born of it. Amen. And that which God had chosen in Christ, you should come into a glorious realization of it. 1 Corinthians, or I think perhaps the Galatian letter might be as good as any to show us this great truth. If we go to the Galatian letter, we're told in verse 27 of chapter 3 that you have been baptized into Christ. You've been baptized into him. Now that's what baptism is all about. And there's only one baptism, according to Ephesians. I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm talking about the one baptism. Galatians 3:27. You've been baptized into Christ. Amen. And when you were baptized into him, you put him on. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. You put him on. And this is the great purpose of God, that you being baptized into Christ, that is in the position in which God chose you before the foundation of the world, that you should be before God the Father. Amen. All the time you've been there, glory, in that position. And now you've been baptized into it, experimentally. In your conscious experience. Is that right? You have consciously experienced the true, the one and only baptism. Amen. What a wonderful thing. What a glorious thing this is too, beloved. So you see, you do see, don't you, that the rest of time, whilst you're on this earth, is only a matter of the Lord revealing in you the fullness of the glory of Christ. Yet there's nothing to do at all, really. If you do anything, you'll only do wrong. That's right. All you've got to do is to just abide there, let him teach you. Don't struggle, because being baptized into Christ, you'll find in the Corinthian letter that what you're baptized into is called in the 12th chapter and verse 12 that you've been 13, I'm sorry, you're all baptized into a body. That's what you're baptized into, a body. You're not just baptized into a place. There is a place in that body that was yours before the foundation of the world, but you're baptized into a body. Now this is a very precious thing. Now you will know that what goes on inside my body is private to me. That's right. Occasionally I let some of it come out. But what is baptized into my body, what's in my body is private to me. Now you are private to Jesus Christ. You understand? You've been baptized into his body, and it's his body, and that's the end of it. Glory. And you realize this. Is that so? Amen. Now I want to tell you that the devil can't do anything about that. Now there's one person, there's this that the devil can't do anything about. Jesus said when he was on earth, the devil comes and he's got nothing in me. He came down on earth to say that. The end of chapter 14. So if you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, you're private to God. You're not public to the devil. You belong to God. And we can read in the Bible that this devil, he gets in anywhere. Gets in everywhere. But he can't get into God. You understand that? He got into Eden. He got into Adam. He got into the priesthood. That's right. He got into everything. But he couldn't get into Jesus Christ. Now you are there.
Hallelujah.
You've been baptized into a place that the devil can't reach. But if you will persist in telling yourself that the devil's done this, and the devil's done that, and the devil's done something else, and the devil's working your life, he's hiding behind your kitchen door, he'll jump out on you. You've got to watch him. So you've got to sprinkle everything with blood, and I don't know what. The Lord warned us about worshipping the blood this afternoon. And if you believe that you've got to live in this superstitious manner, then the devil will just deceive you, and he'll draw you astray. You must believe that you've been baptized into God himself, not even heaven itself. That's a far less thing, but into God. Now all I do, I testify to you, I don't know a lot about my organs. There are medical people here, but I believe they stop where they're put, where they are. That's right, I believe that. My kidneys around here, I don't think they jump up between my shoulder blades. They go down into my boots. That's right. We're about as insane when it comes to the truth of God as any person in, I was going to say, Digby. The truth of the matter is that we're in him. That's right. That's so simple. Well, I spend the rest of my life learning all about this. Well, I mean, not filling my head up with knowledge about it, but experiencing it. We're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's that. See? We're not even in some earthly holy place. Praise God. You see, we can read in, say, Psalm 91 about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and so on and so on and so on. And we know what that secret place was. It was the holiest of all. That was absolutely secret. And the secret of the secret place was inside the ark. There, what was shut up in there, that was the secret of all secrets. All shut up. Nobody dared look in there. That was the last place. And that's what they were thinking about, you see. But I'm not dwelling in a box in some earthly holy of holies. I'm in God. I'm in Christ. I'm private and secret to Him. Do you believe that? If I said to you, how many of you believe that? What would you do? I believe that. Amen. Well now, if you don't believe it, you are to believe it. You are to believe it. With everything you've got, you're to believe it. And you're just to be before God. You're not before the world, you're not before the devil, you're not before the church, or anything like that. You're before God, just to please Him. For His good pleasure. It says so in that first chapter of the Ephesians. It says, the good pleasure of His will. He works everything after the counsel of His own will. And the Lord says that's good. And He's very, very pleased about it, beloved. And just about all you've got to do is to sort of lie back, kick and coo, put your arms round Father's neck, say Abba Father. You know? Abba is sort of a Greek word, Hebrew word meaning daddy, really. That's right. Yeah. All you've got to do is please your Father. That's all. Jesus says, I do everything that pleases the Father. He says, oh, always do the things that please Father. Now, that's all you've got to do. You ain't going to worry about whether you go mad, or whether you go bad, or sad, or anything like that. You all you've got to do is to love Jesus. Of course you will go mad. I mean, you've got this, you've got the testimony of what? Paul, you're beside yourself. You're mad. God, that's fine. That's the sort of madness I want. You don't want to worry about that. You're here to stop thinking you're so important that the devil keeps making you his target. I mean, this is you're so self-important. Think of yourself as too small fry for him to ever bother with. You're not going to convert the world or get crucified for someone. You've got no redeeming blood in you. What's you so important about? Forget about yourself. It was sufficient for you that Jesus counted you worth saving. That's all that you've got to worry about. I've got to get the world saved. Who told you that? I've got to do this, I've got to do that, we've got to do... Have you? You mind your own business. It's sufficient for you to abide in the Lord. And just look up in His face and love Him and kiss Him and well, that's it. Be yourself. That's right. You're in Christ before Father. It's just for His pleasure. Hallelujah. That's all it is. Just to please Father. My, this is tremendous. When I think about this at times, I don't have any more burdens or responsibilities. I can laugh and sing and think about nothing. Think about nothing. Worry about nothing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I did it just as well in a prison cell in Maidstone. Didn't make any difference. Didn't think because I'm in a nice place called Ravensbourne. I can do this. You don't have to worry about this. It's knowing, beloved, where you are, what you are, and what the Lord's done about it. And it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what anything else does. Nothing. Now, abiding here, and just looking up into the face of the Lord. Why, it's precious, beloved. You see what's all lying ahead of you. If you just abide there consciously, you'll find that the Lord will take your life and develop, and you'll start to really move in the wonders of God. And you know what it is to be filled in all the fullness of God. If you just stop there, stop jumping about and thinking you're important. Stop. Get this idea out of your head. Well, I don't think I'm important. I'll say, yeah, but you see, the very fact that you keep saying it proves that you think you are. Stop your nonsense. Stop talking about yourself and thinking about yourself. Nothing. When will it sink in? I'm only telling you the way I live. So if you think I'm wrong, well, that's that. You see, beloved, the Lord is going to perfect us in Christ. And that's about why you were left on the earth. So he will perfect you and perfect you and perfect you. And if you behave yourself in this condition, I promise you in the Lord's name that everything else will work out. These things about sort of soul winning and service and knowing the will of God and all this sort of thing. Because it's all after the pleasure of his will. You see? And when you're contented with your lot and not reaching out after something you should not be reaching unto, oh, I believe I've got to do this, I believe I've got to do that. You've got to do nothing of the sort. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. If you'll only let God be God in you, and you be who and what you are in God, all your problems will be solved. Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you this. Do you really think there are any troubles in Jesus Christ? Any troubles in him? Do you think there are any things you can do in Jesus Christ? Do you think his heart misses a beat now and again? Do you think he gets blood pressure? Well, he says, sure he doesn't get blood pressure because his veins were open to let it run out. Do you think these things? Be sane. Glory be to the name of the Lord. If we'll abide in him as the Lord has put us in him, as many as of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we put on Jesus Christ. Amen. Moreover, there's something very wonderful in the Roman letter that we ought to look at about this. In the sixth chapter, that famous sixth chapter, it says this, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, verse 3, we were baptized into his death. We were baptized into his death. You know what happened there, don't you? When he died, baptized, he died to sin. Tells you a little lower down the chapter. We were baptized into that death to sin. Glory. I was baptized into that when I was baptized into Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, beloved, this is the end, isn't it? You know that when a person dies, then all the things that were connected with that former life, they aren't there anymore. Are they? They aren't there. Death. And I'm being baptized into him. In other words, this is what it means. That all of glories and virtues and works and powers and everything, beloved, that were in him, work in him, are all mine. It's all, I'm in them. I don't ask for them. I'm in them. I don't pray for them. I have them. That's right. I'm there. I'm right in them. They're all around me. It's my new world. They're all mine. You see, this is one of the great mistakes, actually, in our thinking. I mention this very fairly frequently, that we talk about being in a land of corn and wine and oil and all these things. We don't inherit a land, we've inherited a person. God is my inheritance. Jesus Christ is my new world. That's right. All the glories, why corn and wine and oil and figs and olives and wheat and oh, I don't know what else, they're only his ideas. He made them out of his ideas, out of his own thoughts. That's where they came from. He imagined it all, and then he made it. That's marvelous. But I don't want to live in imaginations of God. I want to live in the reality of God. When I live there and consciously live there, I'm beyond the devil's reach. Now, that doesn't make us cocksure. This doesn't make us perilously poised on the brink of destruction. But it does bring the heart to rest. And nobody will have rest of heart until they rest here. Nobody. We may talk about it and sing about it and pray about it, but nobody can have it until they rest here. And this is what the Hebrews letter says when it says, entering into his rest, God's rest. What it's like inside the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine it now? You look back over the past week or the past month, it's called, all according to how long you've been saved or you've turned to Jesus. Well, it might be years, decades with some. Do you really think that's how Jesus Christ has been inside? One minute you're running hot, and the next minute you're freezing cold. You're full of joy, and then you're full of gloom. Oh, beloved. Beloved. This isn't Jesus Christ. God's so loved the world that he gave his son. Not the son's cross. That doesn't what it says. It says if you believe in him. In him. In him. Now he used the cross. He had a wonderful purpose for the cross in his life. But beloved, God gave me Jesus. See? He's for the world. And he takes the place of the world for me. And I'm in him. What a glorious thing. And that isn't to say that I shan't meet circumstances and difficulties. Things will go wrong in the outer world. They don't all go right. We have fires at Ravensbourne, as well as anywhere else, but they get put out. You have all this sort of thing. But that doesn't matter. You see, those things don't spoil the equilibrium of your life. They can't touch it. It's all way beyond the reach of all these things. You do see that, don't you? Well, now, this is the life. This is the life. Glory. So shall the Lord establish every one of us in his grace. You see, it says that we're his workmanship, created in Christ. In Christ. Glory. Created in him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, when he created us, he didn't take a handful of dust to create us. He created us in Christ. He took the qualities, he took that glorious life, he took the characteristics, he took the thoughts, the imaginations, the passions, the feelings, the purity, the righteousness, the holiness, took the glory of Christ and created us from that. Created us from love in Christ. That's where he did it. Do you believe that? Well, whether you believe it or not, it's true. Don't elect yourself out of it. You've been elected in it. Chosen in it. It's as though God was in the blessed Jesus. We'll have that, we'll take that, we'll take this. Have this, you know, like you might run round in a glorious orchard of fruits. Ooh, I said to my wife when she went out this morning, bring in some fruit beer, you see, and some biscuits, and we, you see, I live on that, or would like to, but here's the tremendous effect. God made us from this blessing. Christ! Don't you see it? He made us in Christ. And that Christ who lived on the earth had me in him then. Yes. Yeah. And he said to the devil, on the earth, you've got nothing in you. said, "You've got nothing in me."
God, I reckon that devil went mad.
Don't you?
Yeah. Well, sure he did.
Look what he did. He made hell the worst for him, for himself, by what he did. Well, surely that's madness. Now, beloved, I'm in the Lord. You've got one great thing to do. So have I. Set out on this great voyage of discovery. Set out so that you may come to an understanding and a knowledge of it all. That's your life now. Praise the name of the Lord. Get on your knees or lie on your back in bed or on your tummy if you prefer that. Walk about the roads. Do what you want. But discover this. You're on a voyage of discovery. You're only going to be taught by the Spirit. He's come to be your new mind in you, so that you can have the mind of the Spirit. He's come to teach you what you are in Christ and to carry your conscious being back or forward or what you want into all the fullness of that which God gave you in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, you don't know how privileged you are, neither do I, it's all right. You don't know how privileged you are. You don't know what glories have been given you and what love has been expended upon you. You don't know. But you see, the trouble with so many of us is all the devil needs to do is to take something about a millionth as big as a mustard seed and just drop it like that, and we're all in a mess. Only a millionth as big as a mustard seed. Who knows, we'll blow it up as big as a mountain. Whew, he knows that. We'll blow it up so large, make such a fuss. Instead of just abiding in the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. And you know what we do? We do it all to draw attention to ourselves. We do it all, it's all self, 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 until, well, we forced God to have a cross. We forced Him to have a cross, to get rid of us. That's right. So that you may discover that before you ever knew yourself, you were chosen in Christ. Before there was ever a world. Oh, but sin, sin, sin. Yes, terrible thing, sin. But, beloved, the worst thing about sin is that it's defined itself in a disposition in us. Yeah. And it's set, the disposition is the set pattern of our inward life. And it's this, beloved, that God has to deal with within inside of us. Now, I've been baptized into His death. Now, this is a precious thing. Because, you see, it doesn't say I've been baptized into His cross. That was the means of His death. But I'm baptized into that which He accomplished by the cross. Death. It was an accomplishment to Jesus to die. He'd never done that before. It was a real accomplishment. Cool.
praised his wonderful name. And he died. And I'm in the beyond the cross position. In that glorious, blessed Lord Jesus Christ. So are you. Now, you start to believe the truth. Until you believe the truth, you can't be free, because it's the truth that makes you free. When you start to believe the truth as it is in Christ, and not the lie that's in your life, you must not believe anything that contradicts what God says. Nothing. You must place no faith in it at all. You must take no stock of it, give it no substance, allow it no reality. You must believe God. Now, as surely as you believe God, even though in your conscious being you have no evidence that it's true, what God says, as surely as you believe God upon the oath and the testimony and the evidence of what he says, and what he says alone, he will bring you into that position. He'll bring you into it. As surely as you believe him. And believe him with a set determination. I believe God. I believe you, Lord. Surely as you do, he'll bring you there. Do you believe that? Amen. That's right. In the end, we always know who's believed him and who hasn't. Because he brings you there. And bless him. Let's go back to where I started. That we've been chosen in him before the world was. Glory. And all that you and I have to do, beloved, is to say, thank you, Lord, I believe that. Now, don't just believe it as positional truth as opposed to your real state. Don't believe it saying, oh, I suppose I've got to drag on through this terrible way for another 40 years. And then I'll realize what my position was in Christ before the world was, and so on. That's not true, beloved. That's not true. You've got to see that position for you means possession. And without possession, I'm sure you've never realized your position. So that you can say, Lord, I've got it. I have it. I have it, you know. Well, have it? That's why we could have danced earlier when we were singing Holy Hands unto the Lord. If there hadn't been any chairs in the room, I reckon we'd have all been marching round. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along, glory. And I nearly stopped you when you were singing it and said, well, you said holiness unto the Lord. What are you referring to when you say holiness unto the Lord? What's holiness unto the Lord? Eh? What would you have said? I am. That's right. Holiness to the Lord. Oh, I might hear holiness to the Lord. They might think I'm better than I am, sort of thing. They might think I'm holy. But holiness to the Lord, that's it. That's the incredible part of that. That's the truth. Holiness unto the Lord. Look at that. Holiness to me. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Now, you start believing God. Know that everything is given to you. Everything all yours. Go to bed, my lady, Gloria. I've got it all.
Hug yourself. That's right.
Lord, thank you. Glory. Glory, I've got it, Lord. I've got it. Here.
And it's when you get into this incredible realm of truth and realize that you are just little you and God is great God, and it's only that you can't understand it, but God has said it, and it's the only way of communicating it to you. And stop believing in your little you and making such a fuss about it, and start believing God. And when we believe God, glory. Don't think, you know, is he looking at me? Nobody bothers to look at you, honestly. Now do they? Get it, you see, nobody's looking at you, nobody's thinking about you, nobody. You're not important enough. Don't you see? It's all, we're looking at Jesus. Looking at Jesus, we're not looking at you. When we see Jesus, we're filled up with perfection. And if we happen to catch sight, you say, he's wonderful, we say. He's fine, we say. That's right. We just have to catch sight of it. Because you see, you're filled up with Jesus. If you're living in Jesus, you're in all wonder of it all. His thoughts are your thoughts, you see. His appreciations and understanding. And you let tell me anybody in this room that Jesus is looking at them and saying, oh, I think they're terrible. You see, he loves you. He loves you. And we're looking at Jesus and that's the answer to it. When will this sink in to us all? We'll have the devil, we'll give him enough stuff to keep calling him to us. Of course we will. If we want rats to infest the place, we know how to get them here. Easy. But you see, here's the wonder of it all. It's him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, this is great, beloved. Amen. And what I've proved about the Lord is this, that he never does deal with you after your sins. Never does reward you after your iniquities. He can't do that. He can't do it. All it seems that he can do to you and me is love you. That's all it seems that he can do. He seems powerless to do anything else. Well, that's how I've proved it. Whenever I've come a cropper, I've sort of gone here and just sort of got down before the Lord. Well, it's been wonderful. And all this nonsense about I can't forgive myself, what's that got to do with it? See, there you are again. You set yourself up as God. I can't forgive myself. And all this. That's nothing of the sort. All that's only pride. All that not is. That's only pride. When we come, we just say, Lord, Lord, glory to thy name. I love you, Lord. You're here. And if you don't stay there in your conscious being, which is faith, if you don't stay there, then I can't see any hope of you growing up. For passage of time has nothing to do with growing up. I mean, you could be another 40 years messing about like you are. I don't think that because time passes, I mean, it won't be so long now before I'm a year older, but you know what I mean. See, that's the passage of time that happens, whether I want to get older or whether I don't. But in Christ, growth, all growth, is attached and is related to this, that I just consciously abide there and believe him and let this wonder work in me. And growth is always something which is completely unconscious. Completely unconscious. You won't know whether you don't know you're growing. You won't know. That's right, isn't it? I mean, I've grown. Well, I've grown to nearly 6 feet, but really, honestly, I didn't have any growing pains or anything like that. I just grew. I didn't know I was growing. They used to say to me, "My, you are getting a big boy, you see." Oh, I didn't know. It wasn't my fault. And it was nothing to do with me. I just grew. Remember, I used to concentrate pretty hard on eating and drinking and doing all sorts of things like that. But that's what happens, you see. Consciously, cooperatively, believe God. And I don't believe anything else. There you are. And the devil comes in. Oh, they don't love you. They don't think that. They don't that. They don't that. In about 5 minutes, I got my heart full up of sin. I wouldn't believe that for the world. Wouldn't believe that. A load of rubbish. Believe God. Praise him. Do you know, I confess to you, that just about takes me all my time. That takes me all my time. And that's a marvellous thing. If you've got any time to spare, well, I did quote it earlier in this room today, that my mother used to say to me, that Satan findeth mischief still for idle hands to do. And you've got to be occupied, preoccupied, fully occupied in this, chosen in him, that you might be before him in love, glory, holy, without blame. Glory, glory, glory. Are you there? Now let's pray.